praise and worship team, and she is a delightsome young lady. Amen. And we love her. Praise God. Amen. Well, if you stay, I'm ready. How about you all? I say let's go. Praise God. If you will, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we are received a mandate or a mantra from our bishop, Bishop Holcomb, amen, on Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be talking about the kingdom, but I want to talk to you today about something that is really dear, near and dear to my heart, amen. I'm a teacher by nature, and so I'm going to invite you to take notes as we share the word of God, and that is only because there are going to be some things that I'm going to say that is going to talk to your spirit man that your brain didn't catch. So as you say amen, or as you write something down, or as I say something, if God begins to quicken something in your spirit, write that down. That is as important as what I'm verbally going to express to you. Does that make sense to you? And so I want you to take notes, praise God. I want you to write it. You're going to dream about this. This was going to bless you, amen? I have shared this with our beloved bishop, and he has taken me, invited me, had me on his program in the conferences and bookstores. And when Pastor Tedder gave me the opportunity, I can only give you what God has given unto me. I'm not trying to invent anything new. I just want God to be glorified, amen. And so hopefully you'll be blessed by this, amen. The Bible makes a statement over in Matthew chapter 13. And it says in verse 3, and it says, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Y'all know this already, I believe. And some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they began to spring up because they had no depth or no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, O Lord, they withered away. Verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, amen, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And others fell in good ground and brought forth good fruit, or some fruit, some 100, some 30, and some 60-fold. And then he makes the statement, whoever has ears, let him what?
Hear.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you. You may have your seats. One of the things that you need to know, first of all, is that how many of you know that Jesus really wasn't talking about seeds and plants? Really, what he was talking about was people. As a matter of fact, when you go to look at the Bible and you begin to look at this discourse on kingdom dynamics and kingdom relationships, it's really dealing with, he uses parables to explain to them what he really wants to do in the relationships that he has to develop. So he has to use things that you can understand, things that you can embrace, things that are practical, because you can have kingdom thinking, you can have kingdom speaking, but you have to have kingdom living. And so in order to embrace kingdom principles, you have to be able to embrace and say what the king has said, hear what the king has said, and then you have to be able to do what the king said do. Amen. And so this really has nothing to do with birds and seeds. It's really having to do with people. The word is the seed that is being sowed. Jesus is the sower, and you are the field. Turn to your neighbor and tell him that. Say, neighbor, you are the field. Amen. And so what he begins to do is he begins to give this discourse on different kingdom dynamics. And we're going to fast track through this because I'm really trying to get you somewhere. Amen. The Bible makes a statement, amen, and he gives us kingdoms. They're asking him, okay, what is the kingdom like? And Jesus, if you can imagine him being the incarnate word of God, has to kind of somehow in one snapshot say the kingdom of heaven is like this. And we know that that's not going to happen because the kingdom is too dynamic for just one isolated phrase. So what he tries to do is he says, okay, let me try to explain this to you. Over in verse 24, it says that the kingdom is likened unto a man who sowed good seed into his field. Okay, good. But it's not really limited to that. In verse 31, it says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field. But it's not really, that's not the totality either. So let me try again. The kingdom of heaven is really like, in verse 33, it says that it's really like leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal until the whole leaven, the whole was leavened. But that's not it. But let me pause at verse 35, and he inserts this statement, and he says, wait, let me explain to you really what's going on, that these things are might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying that I will open my mouth in parables, Jesus, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And then he continues and he says, okay, now let me tell you this. He says, now in verse 44, the kingdom is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, which the man, which he found it, he hid it. And for the joy thereof, he goes forth and sells everything that he has that he might buy that field. It was a precious commodity, the kingdom. Are you with me? He's trying to utter things that have been kept secret from you all from the beginning of the world. But now, since you asked me what the kingdom is like. See, 2011 was waiting for you to show up, whether y'all realize it or not. And since you showed up, I may as well just go ahead and tell you some kingdom dynamics, because these things have been hidden from you from the beginning of the world. But oh, but now that you're here. Come on, somebody. Now that you're here. I mean, what you went through in 2010, can I talk to somebody for a minute? Can I make myself at home? See, since you already been through some stuff in 2010, can I get one witness in here? You got to know that 2011 was waiting with blessings and opportunities, waiting for you to show up, because I've got great things in store for you. All you got to do is cross over into this new year. Things that have been held up from you for so long, now I'm getting ready to release it. Are y'all with me? I'm getting ready to release this thing on you. And since we're talking about the kingdom, so it's really not about that. It's really about a merchant seeking good pearly trails. He keeps going on and on about this. And then it says, verse in 47, and then he says, and the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. What? But you got to catch it, praise God, because the kingdom is much more dynamic than church. We're talking kingdom now. And that's why you have to be system operators to know how to operate the system under which God has established for you. Because if you don't work the system won't work for you. Am I talking to anybody in here yet? Y'all will say amen to me after a while. I'm just want to make sure I'm in the right house, praise God. And he says it's like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. See, so kingdom, so the church may isolate you and say you have to be a this and a that, but the kingdom says everybody can come. And I'm liking what I'm seeing here, Pastor Tedder. I'm liking what I'm feeling here, Pastor Tedder, because you all got a thing going on. There's an anointing that is in this place. And it's because God has established something in this. It is this last one that really got me. Because it is settled over in verse 52. And then he said unto them, he said, therefore, every scribe, somebody say every scribe. Every scribe. Well, let me go back one. I'm sorry. In verse 51, he makes this statement. He asks this question. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? And they said, yea, Lord. But I doubt if they really understood everything he was saying, because it's much too much dynamic. And so he gives them this one last parable, but it is very subtle, but it's the one that explodes. He said, therefore, every scribe which is instructed in unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, or the head of a house, which brings forth out of his treasure, somebody say out of his treasure, things. New and old. And I got to thinking about that. I was praying about it again last night. I said, my God, thank God that he didn't just go into the garbage dump and try to give you something. No, he went into his treasure. He went into his treasure chest and said, I've got to bring you something that is going to be so revolutionary. It will set you up at the beginning of the year. So that way, when we have the same conversation in December, I'm pulling out treasures of old and treasures of new, and I'm going to bless you with it. I'm going to give you something that'll take the whole year for you to figure out. It's what I heard one preacher say. I'm telling this is my brother, so we're on the same sheet of music. Praise God. Like a good farmer, praise God. He speaks of last year's growths and this year's gatherings. He speaks of old and new. Somebody say old and new. Yes, new and old, abundance and variety. In the house of God, there should be treasures of things old and new. Triumphs of last year's with expectations of this year. Truths of old and new, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Ancient and modern, old experience and new observations. We should not content ourselves with just the old and what took place in last year. Because last year was good for that, but I want to talk to somebody right now that there is going to be a freshness that's going to be on you in 2011. Does anybody have an expectation of something greater? I mean, if 2010 was a good year, I say 2011 is going to be much, much greater than that. Hallelujah. And I believe, praise God. So he had to give you all of these parables and all these things just to get you to understand that I must add something new to them. And what I had to do is I had to go back and I had to research myself. I said, okay, Lord, what is it that most people are missing that is new in their lives? And he told me, again, it's relationships. What? Yeah, it's relationships. See, you got to know that for most people, I've discovered that I would be all right if the relationships in my life were all right. But whether it is in the church, the workplace, or at home, if the relationships are right, then God can be glorified. But when the relationships are all jacked up, y'all don't have to say amen to me. Can I say jacked up in the church? See, if the relationships are all jacked up, then what will happen is I can be whole by myself, but it's the relationships around me that are messed up. And if you're not careful, you'll conform to the relationships that are around you, and you'll find yourself cussing like they cuss. It's because of your relationships. But see, you're in the house of God, where God pulls treasures out, old and new, new and old, and says, now I'm giving it unto you. Things that were held back for a long period of time, I'm not holding it back from you anymore. Oh, jeez, my God. I'm not holding it back from you anymore. I'm going to release this thing if you can handle it. Everybody can't handle kingdom. But I believe somebody in here. See, because you can't preach everything in every church. The atmosphere has to be right. The culture has to be right. There has to be a level of expectancy that is in this house. So what I have to do is I have to give you what's in me. And what is in me is a revelation that God had dropped in me a long time ago, praise God. And I had the audacity to write a book about it. And what has happened is God has taken this one single book and it has just taken off. I mean, it's on the web, it's conferences. Bishop Holcomb has been speaking in different places as we're talking to the Sonship School. They made it part of the Sonship School curriculum because not because it's good preaching, it is because it is so practical. Because we need relationships in our lives. Amen? Are you ready? Amen. Now you can, I'm from New York City. And so where I'm from, praise God, you get on a number 2 train and you just get off whatever stop you have to get off. Okay. And so as we go into this, you can just get off whatever stop you want to get off because it's all good. We're trying to just get you somewhere. Amen. Okay. Praise God. Now we're going to talk about divine relationships. Say that with me. Say divine relationships. Amen. This has gotten me into so much trouble, but it has been such a blessing to me, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you also. Amen. Before I go into this, you need to know that there are some rules of engagement. Now, I understand that Fort Carson is right down the street, so there might be some military people in here. And so there are rules of engagement. Amen. And 3 things you need to know about the nature of divine relationships. One is that that they work whether you are a Christian or not. Okay, they work whether you're a Christian or not. See, everybody thinks that if you are a Christian, that biblical principles only work for you. But you need to know that the secular world can take biblical principles and make millions out of it. It's true, amen. Second thing you know is you need to know is that they speak to every area of our lives. Say that with me. They speak to every area of our lives. So whether you are at home, at church, at work, amen, these relationship principles will work. They are universal, amen. In other words, they work whether you like it or not. It's like gravity. You don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to believe gravity works. Just jump off the building and you'll know. Am I right about it? Okay, and so what you have to do is also know that they are ever present around us. Everywhere we go, they are there. Amen? They are ever present around us. What you need to know also is that they work in secular situations, church situations, and family relationships. And what you need to know is that they will be there, and as long as you solve the relationship problem, I believe every pastor can be much more successful if the relationships were right. I believe that wives and husbands would be able to get along better if the relationships were right. You'd be a better worker on your job as long as the relationships are right. Can I get one witness with that? And so God has placed you in this place, in this house, amen, with these pastors to establish a kingdom relationship with you. And I believe that they're teaching you real good. I can just sense it, amen? Last thing you need to know is that God is a God of relationships. He's a God of relationships. Nothing and no one was created to exist by itself. I don't know what that echo is. Do y'all hear an echo in there? Okay, might want to change microphones. I don't know if you can. But nothing and no one was created to be by itself. Everything that God created is in an association with something else. Are y'all with that? Amen. So he himself actually is a tripartite being. In other words, he is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Bible makes statements that there are three that bear witness in heaven. It is the Word, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it says that these three are one. It says also, amen, that there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three are one. I want you to see that three are one. Is that it? Okay. And so what God wants to do is let us know that what he has done is he has created everything to be in an association with something else. In the Genesis chapter 1, we find that God says that let us make man in our image. And so he says that now we are tripartite beings. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are a merismos. Did y'all teach you talk to merismos? Not yet? Okay, I'll back. Okay. And so we are a three-part being. Amen. You are a spirit. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in flesh. Amen. And the thing that what unites us is that when our spirit, soul, and flesh get in line, how many of you know that we are in a good place? Thank you.
Praise God.
Is that better? And so now, what I have discovered, praise God, is that God, he wants to be able to have some Genesis principles that I have laid out. And this is where I want you to buckle up. Amen. Let's go back. Since we're at the beginning of the year, let's go back to the beginning of the Bible. And let's go over just a few principles, because I believe that every relationship, write this down. Every relationship must be clearly defined. Come on, say that with me. Every relationship must be clearly defined. Willingly embraced and freely invested in. Okay, I'm gonna say it again. Every relationship must be clearly defined, willingly embraced, and freely invested in. Okay, now, so we're gonna come back to that. Every relationship must be clearly defined. Without clearly defining the relationships that are around you, you subject yourself to abuse and neglect and being misunderstood. So what happens is, let's see if we can pick this up. I said Genesis, right? Hold Genesis. Let's go back to Matthew just for a second. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 16, I preached this once and Bishop jumped out of his chair. And you know the text over in verse 13. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, what? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that you are John the Baptist. Another say that you are Elijah. Others said, you know, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but I say unto you, who do you say that I am? Okay? Who do you say that I am? Now, this is important because I believe that Jesus was waiting for this moment to ask this person, I understand what they say, but I want to know, what do you say about who I am? I know who I am, but I've got things pertaining to the kingdom that I can't give you until you get the definition right. When you get the definition right, then I can give unto you the keys to the kingdom. I can change your name and empower you with what I want you to have. But if you don't get the definition right, then something's going to be wrong, and I've got to look for another. And I believe that all of heaven stood still, waiting to see Peter. Please get it right, man. Don't let Jesus pass by to look for another. I need you to get this thing right, because if the definition is wrong, then we all going to miss out. The Messiah has come, Jesus. And Peter said, Jesus, I know what they say, but to me, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds, y'all know the story. And Jesus responds, flesh and blood didn't give that unto you, but my Father, which has given that unto you. And now I can give you, Peter, I can give you the keys to the kingdom. I can give you the car. I can give you the Mercedes. I can give you the house. I can give it all to you now because you got the definition right. And I have to make these things pragmatic, because in the church, what happens is if you don't acknowledge Pastor Tedder as your pastor, instead of just that preacher on a corner over there, see, it changes your relationship. I can become a visitor to the church, or I can be a member of the church. It is because my relationship is now defined. It's not that church, it's my church right now. I'm down with this right now. I'm following the vision of this thing now. And watch, if I can get more practical, see, it helps in a relationships. My degrees are in sociology and pastoral counseling and forget degrees. Anyway, what my point is this, is that when you have relationships clearly defined, it facilitates healthy relationships. How many times have someone gotten their heart broken because the relationship was misdefined? See, back when I was young, a few years ago, see, I would say anything to a young lady. Y'all don't hear me. Can I be real? See, I would say, I'm from New York, amen. And see, we had to try to get over. And so in the get over, you would say whatever you want to say to somebody in order for you to... And so as long as I can tell, watch this, as long as I can tell you, oh, you are the love of my life, and I love you, and you are so beautiful, and all of that, and so as long as the relationship, as long as I define the relationship, I can get whatever I wanted out of the relationship. Let me see if I can fix this. When I was dating my wife, see, and we transitioned from boyfriend and girlfriend to fiance. That helped us to be able to make sure that our relationship was going to be healthy. Yeah. And so there were some things that as fiancés we could do that we could not do as just friends. Yeah. You got to be careful with terms like friends and colleagues, because they are ambiguous in nature. You can call anybody a friend. Y'all don't hear me today. You call anybody a friend. I mean, a boyfriend can be a friend. A lover can be a friend. But they're friends. See, what God wants to do is, let's define this thing. Let's make sure that it's right. Because if it's not right, a friend could be misappropriating a relationship. And then you wonder why it's not prospering like it should. It's because God has not blessed it, because you misdefined the thing. When God created stuff, he had to identify everything that he creates. Oh, Jesus, are y'all with me? Everything that God creates has a name. In Genesis 1, he said, day. Can you see God? Can you see him creating the universe? He says, day, day, night, sun, moon, firmament. This, and he's creating, and he's given a name to everything. And then he tells Adam, he says, Adam, now you are created in my image, and I want you to give names to everything that is supposed to be named. Nothing that God creates is nameless. Are y'all with me so far? Everything has a name. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, everything that God creates has a name. Now watch this. Everything that man creates, you give it a name. And sometimes the name, you have to see what you cannot control, you have to rename. So he says, thou art Peter, the Christ, the Son. Listen, and upon this rock, this truth, I will build my church, and I'm going to give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever things you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want to talk to some people that are going to walk in the authority that in this year, you're going to bind some things, and you're going to loose some things based on a relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Are y'all understanding me? See, without the name that has been given under every other name, you don't have any authority to bind anything. But if somebody in here would be able to say, you know, in the name, I bind those habits and issues that plagued me and held me back last year, and I'm going to loose a spirit, praise God, of prosperity and excellence that is going to be down in this house and in my family and in my workplace, and my children will be blessed, my family will be blessed, my church will be blessed, only because I'm walking in a divine relationship with my God. See, somebody in here, you need to put your hands on your Holy Ghost hips and tell that devil, enough is enough. I'm not going back the way I was. I'm moving forward. God did not bring you into 2011 just for you to have another 2010 experience. No, you've got to have a whole new life, a whole new life that God has given unto you, my God. He brought you into this kingdom for such a time as this. You've got to clearly define the relationships. God is not the man upstairs. He's your heavenly, loving, caring, sharing heavenly Father who will give you good gifts, amen, and bless you abundantly, exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask. Am I talking to anybody in here yet? This thing has blessed me to the point where I got to understand, who am I? Who are you to me? See, any single folks in here? Any single folks in here? Come on, let me see. Don't be shy. Let me see some. Okay, watch this. See, what I had to do, this came out of the singles conference. What I had to do is to make sure that the relationships that you are involved in are clearly defined. Come on, ladies. Because a fellow will, the guys don't like me when I say this, but see, you can define a relationship as just being friends. But what happens is as soon as he conquers and gets what he wants, then what happens is, okay, now I just wanted to be your friend. So what I had to do was I had to tell all the singles in our church, hey, wait a minute, before Bubba step in your life, before he make all of these promises and pat you and want to take you out and smooze you and all that, you got to come back and go, okay, brother, what is the definition of our relationship? Because if it's not right, you might be asking me to make an investment that goes beyond the definition of the relationship that we have. If we are colleagues, then let's be colleagues. If we're saints and you are my brother and you are my sister, then there's certain things that brothers and sisters don't do. Am I all right? So what I've got to do is I've got to make sure that, my God, okay, you single, I'm single, you fly, I'm fly, but we brothers and sisters. Not that I don't trust you, I don't trust me. I got to make sure, my God, that that in the presence of your beauty and your glory, I gotta keep my flesh under control. So when I'm talking to my wife and we transitioning from boyfriend to girlfriend and fiance and stuff, the closer I got, she would say, "Hold on, brother. Let's define this thing. Who are we? And what are we doing?" "Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. We just friends. That's right. My bad." And we had to clearly define this thing. The second thing was, not only do we have to clearly define it, but we have to willingly embrace it. Say that with me, willingly embrace. Come on, say it with me, clearly define, willingly embrace, freely invested in. See, this is going to be good conversation talk, because what's going to happen is, see, any relationship, I don't care if it's your boss. When I was working in corporate America, I'm the manager in here, not you. I'm not here to be your friend, because that's misdefining the relationship. I don't care how good of a job you are. Don't tell me, "Oh, Mr. Dawkins, you so fine." I know not. That's inappropriate for the definition of the relationship. Only one person can call me Mr. Dawkins, "You so fine." All right. So what I had to do is I had to go back and I had to look, okay, clearly defined, willingly embraced. So when she said, "Okay, brother, we are only friends," I had to embrace that relationship willingly. I had to say, okay, here, let me give you scripture. I'll give you scripture, amen? Over in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, are you there? See, I would say it's a Christmas story, but it has gone way, excuse me, Luke chapter 1, it has gone way beyond a Christmas story. It's Mary's story. But in reality, it's our story. Let me tell you what happened. 14-year-old Mary, in the verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was..." Amen. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail Mary, one, thou art highly favored of the Lord. Two, the Lord is with you. Three, blessed are you among..." What? Nobody greeted Mary like that, probably, just like nobody ever greeted you like that. "Hail, Allison. The Lord is with you. You are highly favored of the Lord." And it's for a purpose. Watch this. And it says, "Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she could not willingly embrace this. And when she saw this, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind, "What manner of salutation is this?" See, God sometimes will speak to you when you are by yourself and draw you closer to him. He will tell you things pertaining to the kingdom that go beyond where you are at right now. So you can't allow the conditions and circumstances under which you are currently to limit what God can and will do with you. So he has to position you and go, "Hail, Christian House of Prayer." Can I talk about it? The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among all the churches in Colorado Springs. You are, come on, y'all know this. You are highly favored of the Lord. You know that already, because you can't do this thing in and of your own strength. You can't buy property like this and expand this fast in these days, except the Lord be with you. When she's heard these things, she's troubled in her mind. What manner of salutation is it? But before she could even get it out of her mouth, because it was in her mind, before she could even say it, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God." See, a lot of times we talk ourselves out of the blessings, and we think that we can't do it. But before you can even get it, I want to talk to somebody here. See, before you can even get it out of your mouth, God is going to say, don't you say one word. Don't you even speak it. Don't speak against what I'm creating in your mind and in your heart to do. Fear not. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, say, neighbor, don't be afraid. Listen, because there's going to be some things taking place in 2011. My God, it's going to challenge you. It's going to stretch you, praise God. But you are not to be afraid, my God. He positions you just like that. So he wants you to put in the application. He wants you to apply for it. He wants you to put yourself on the line for it. Why? Because I'm stretching you right now. I want to make this thing happen, praise God. And you're going to have to willingly embrace this, because if you don't, you will have another 2010 experience. Am I talking to anybody in here yet? You got to know, praise God, that, listen, I don't want to go through 2009 and 2008 again. Are y'all hearing me today? If God had me to come all the way through 2010, and I'm here, listen, I'm here. In God's eyes, it's not a calendar year, it's a dimension and a season. Oh my, are y'all hearing me? God doesn't operate according to calendar years. He operates according to times and seasons. So it's not that you arrived in a whole nother calendar year. God is moving you into a whole new season of life, a season of prosperity and joy and life, a season full of challenges. Come on, somebody, but filled with opportunity. And you cannot be afraid. You cannot be afraid of the challenges, because the opportunities and the blessings are in the opportunity. I'm telling you, see, Christian House of Prayer, you got to understand that you are not just in a church. God, again, I'll review. God had to reach into his treasures and pull you out. Are y'all with me? Somebody, y'all with me? And he had to give you things old and things new. See, the concepts and the principles that I'm talking about, they're in the book, but they're not new. This is Genesis principles. God, when God wanted to do something, Tosh, he gave it a name. He called it. When he wanted someone to live, he breathed life into them and say, live, and man became a living, breathing soul. Am I right about that? See, there has to be a spirit, Jesus. There has to be one Genesis principle I got to give you. It's called the principle of agreement. Turn to neighbor, say, neighbor, we have to agree. Amos chapter 3 makes a statement. How can two walk together unless they agree? If you don't get anything else today, I want you to start walking in agreement. There's power. Are you hearing me? There's power in agreement. There's power in agreement. Watch this. God couldn't create anything unless he was in agreement with himself that he is going to create it. So the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are in heaven, and they said, let us make man in our image. Now, either God is a triune being, or he's got some schizophrenia going on. Us and we. No. When they tried to build the Tower of Babel, y'all know the story. When they tried to build the Tower, God says, let us go down to see what they are doing. Because if we don't stop and confuse their language, there will be nothing No, are y'all hearing me? There would be nothing that they would that would be impossible for them to do. They tried literally to bring a build a tower to go up to heaven, and because God created the principles, the people were building it, and God says, hey, wait a minute. They can't come up to heaven like this. Because my Bible tells me that there's only one way unto the Father, and that is through the Son. I got to stop this thing right now in its tracks before, and I got to confuse their language, because there is power in agreement. There's, I said there is power. There is symphonio. That's the Greek word. Symphonio. It's where we get our English words, symbiosis, where allows two indifferential parts to live together. It doesn't make sense, but God has to do it. Any Pentecostal folks in here, then you might know that on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they were all in the same place, and they were on one accord, and they began to do one thing. What was that? To seek the presence of God. And the Bible says, and suddenly a sound from heaven came, because there was in such an agreement, there was such a spirit of agreement that was there. I'm telling you, if you get in agreement with this man of God. Listen, I've known Pastor Tedder for 15, 17 years. I've known this brother, praise God. If you think that he was sent here just by accident, you got another thing coming. If you think that he came here without a vision and a purpose, you got another thing coming. But when God set this man in this city, not for him, but for you, and then all of a sudden you start getting in agreement. He says, let's build. You say, they said, let's go. And the strength of your church will be in your ability to agree. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, we've got to agree. Come on. This is warfare. I'm telling you, if couples began to agree, there would be no, the divorce rate would go down. If families and churches would begin to agree, praise God, I'm telling you, you can set this city upside down. Well, actually, you set it right side up, because it should be a kingdom dynamic that should allow you to be able to speak things. You walk into a restaurant and decree and declare a thing. You've got to agree, praise God. When husbands and wives agree, there is power in that family. Y'all don't understand, when my boys were young and they would try to pit mom and dad against each other. Any parents know what I'm talking about? Well, mama said this, and dad, what do you say this? What you say? My wife and I would go, okay, here's the battle plan. We come out and they go, the answer is no. But mama, you said, I'm in agreement with your father. But daddy, they out there on Friday nights, and I don't care what they do. You need to align yourself with the spirit of agreement that is in this house. There's only going to be one pastor here. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't have to say amen to that. And if they've got the vision, the best thing for you to do is to align yourself with this, because there's power. Can I flip it? How many of you know that you have, listen, are y'all okay? How many of you know that, see, when I get in disagreement with myself, that's called psychology. That's called inner conflict. Because I am not in agreement with myself. So the good that I want to do, I don't do it. But the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And I find myself at a cross, and I don't know what I should do. And I'm conflicted. And then I want to take you out on a date. I can't even get me together, let alone try to get us together. So for all the single ladies, listen, if that brother don't have himself together, you just keep that relationship as friends. We just friends, brother. Until you get yourself together, we just friends. I'm conflicted. I don't know what I should do. I don't know where I should go, what I should do. what I should do. I'm convicted. Where you going with your life, young man? I don't know. I'm just chilling. How many of you know that brothers that have vision and purpose don't just chill? I'm just chilling. Okay, well, brother, you go ahead and chill. I'm trying to find me somebody that's got some vision and some purpose with this thing. I'm a precious commodity. Why do you think so many people are out there looking for churches? Because there's no spirit of agreement and unity in the house. But when there's unity in the house, people will feel it and know it. There's something good about this place. I feel like I can grow here. Why? Because there is an agreement that is in there. Somebody can say amen. Somebody can say yes. See, all you got to do is test. I tested this with Papa Miller. It was so funny. See, all we had to do was get into a spirit. How many of you go to intercessory prayer? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, see, you can go to intercessory prayer and you can give birth to the spirit of agreement that is in the house. Where other church members may not be able to flow, the intercessors are the ones that stir up that pagah, that weld this thing together, and they stir up the fans. And so we're in there, and Papa Miller's an old Pentecostal. And so I said, Papa Miller, I said, what happens is when we go in, and all of a sudden you can have a hard day. And all you got to do is get in the midst of other believers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I'm bummed out in my day, but all of a sudden I just hear somebody, I can't even understand English, literally, linguistically, I can't understand. But there's something down in my spirit, man, that bears witness and embraces that. And so the more that they begin to, and they begin to speak in tongues, all of a sudden, my spirit begins to go, yeah, 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 I agree, amen, amen. And so you'll hear, have y'all never experienced that? And there'll be a yeah, 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 in my spirit, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm in here, you know, but all I got, here, can we try an experiment? Any tongue talkers in here, come on, lift up your hands. Lift, karabo shon doko bashin deke, helalabashan deke, elerebo shon doko babashin deke, arabashandaka, harebo shon. And what happens? And now there's a spirit of agreement. Come on, somebody. And your spirit man will start getting charged up. There'll start to be a relationship dynamic that will take place with other intercessors. Are y'all understanding me? And the more that I begin to pray with you, the more our relationship will be strengthened. No wonder we have separatists in the church, because we never pray together. But what you have to realize is that the more that we pray together, the stronger you will be. How can two walk together unless they agree? Two are better than one. And a threefold cord are not easily broken. The more that we begin to agree, the more that we can clearly define the relationships that we have with God. Are y'all hearing me today? Don't just make this that church. Make this my church. That's my pastor. That's my first lady. We honor what God is doing. I willingly embrace this thing. Praise God. I'm off of my notes, but you know, forget that. Forget that right now. See, I have a reason to come back to Colorado Springs. See, I got a little. I fell in love with an 8-pound, 2-ounce little doll that I'm just in love with. Amen. See, you got to understand, relate the relationships. Somebody say divine relationships. It takes place. Look, it's in your home. Am I right about that? See, this thing started us doing marriage conferences. You know, my wife and I, we've been together 30 years. And what we have discovered is the power, watch this, the power of devotions in the morning. See, I expected that response, because what happens is when you get intimate in the morning, you can be intimate at night. So what happens is you start out on the same accord. And I cannot tell you how many times that we've done our devotions. We started out on the same accord, and the obstacle came. The challenge came. How many new challenges will come? Yeah. And the challenge came, but we both hit it head on because we were on the same accord. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And every idle word spoken, we condemn. Why? Because the spirit of agreement that is in that house. It needs to be on your church. It needs to be on your job. You work for that old uncircumcised Philistine, blowing smoke at the saints of God. I challenge you, get on the same accord. Hear me? Go in early. Anoint that fellas with oil. Start speaking. Get there before. See, because the system works. Get in there before everybody going in. And just go in the office and just, Arabashi, in the name of Jesus. We're going to be on the same accord. Start decreeing and declaring a thing. We're going to get on the same accord. And your old argumentative thing, in the name of Jesus, God's going to shut your mouth today. And your old gossiping thing, God's going to shut your mouth today. And your old backstabbing thing. Go over to their desk. In the name of Jesus. And listen, and bind that spirit. And when people start acting right, they'll start making you coffee and asking you, what would you like, Miss Jones? Oh. But what they don't realize that while they were asleep, how many of you know that our God neither sleeps nor slumbers? He's going to work some things out even in the midnight hour. And I want you to go to work a little early, praise God. Start the year off right. Doing strategic warfare, because yes, last year's tactics won't work now. Are you hearing me? You can't fight. Listen, we can't fight wars in Afghanistan and in Pakistan and dealing with Vietnam tactics. Folk don't care about how many big planes you have. You come in our territory, we got an answer for you. So we have to, listen, I told a long time ago, if you want to do guerrilla warfare, go call the Crips and the Bloods. They know how to. We'll sniff them out. There is a relationship. Hear me, beloved. There is a relationship you've got to establish in this time. You got to clearly, come on, once and for all, you got to say, Jesus, you are my Lord. Come on. Am I right? Come on. You got to, because he can't give you the keys to the kingdom until you can clearly define this thing. So if you know behind door number 3, he's got whatever you need. Jesus, I received that for me. He's got what I need, but I've got to continually say, Lord, I clearly define who you are to me. You are my God. You are my Lord and Savior. And watch this, and I am your child. Clearly defining the relationship, I willingly embrace it because I know that I'm not in charge. All right. Jesus made statements like, I am the vine, you are the branches. Get it right. You're not the one that all of this is coming from. No, I'm the source. So what you need to do is to abide in me and let my word abide in you. Then you'll be able to ask whatsoever you will, and my Father will give it to you. As long as the relationship is right. And then lastly, you've got to make an investment. Are y'all with me? Going to church is one thing. Making an investment in your church is a whole nother thing. God has got some talents and abilities. He's given you gifts and anointings for you not to sit and puff yourself up with what you have and what you can do. No, you take that and you make an investment in this house. And so what he does is he says, I need you to make an investment. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Listen, God is the initiator of the covenant. So before you do anything, God says, hold on, hold what you got. Let me give first. Because what I want to do, what I've given unto you, is commensurate with the level of our definition. All right. All right. I love you so much that I'm willing to give my only begotten son for you. Yes, sir. You old sinful man, you. but I'm willing to give them to you because you are worth it. I don't care what you've done last year. God has given you another opportunity to get it right. Are y'all hearing me today? Am I talking to anybody here today? You got an opportunity to get it right. He didn't bring you into 2011 just for another year. He brought you into 2011 for you to get it right. Are y'all hearing me today? You've got great things expecting for you. Great things await you. But as long as you are clearly defining who he is, he says, I will withhold no good thing from you. All you got to do is abide in me and let my words abide in you. You'll be able to ask whatsoever you will. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands just for a second.